Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, broker here at Daniels Trading, host of the Turner's Take Podcast and author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me at turnerstake.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Turner's Take. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading, working with hedgers and speculators, retail and commercial accounts, online trading, broker-assisted, and manage futures, pretty much anything to do with the commodity market. So, since we last talked, the markets here, the grain markets at least, have continued to feel some pressure. Corn is now below 360, or about 357 in December corn. More farmers I talk to are realizing that they're not going to probably get a rally between now and August. Like, the last thing they were holding out for was this pro-farmer tour, and it really has not been bullish. It's been neutral, probably at best. So there was a lot of talk about the damage done in the Midwest and Northern Plains, the corn and soybean crop. And, you know, there are been pockets of some pretty disappointing results, but there's also been pockets of average to above-average yields also. You know, it's... You know, the pro farmer isn't perfect, that tour. And, you know, there's always, you know, there'll be some variability between what the USDA finally says. But, you know, corn coming in at 167 or 168 on a national yield wouldn't really surprise me now after seeing all these things. Soybeans, you know, maybe 49.5 is a little bit aggressive by the USDA, but 48.5. You know, wouldn't it be surprising if 48 or 48.5, you know, maybe it really does come down to that because the South has had some really good beans. So what's that really mean for prices right now? Any farmers kind of holding out, you know, for kind of hope to see what would happen here with pro farmer are probably going to start throwing in the towel, making their cash sales, not wanting to roll in contracts, keeping, you know, another round of storage and fees at the elevator. And what you're going to probably see here is some strong cash selling. And, you know, with these corn at 357, wouldn't be surprised if we tested 350, 355, 350. Worst case scenario, I'm thinking right now, at least technically, would be a 345 at that point. You know, then we're testing some really big support levels. But, you know, December corn, we were down, you know, in about 359, 358, back at last summer. And then continuous corn would be a lot lower. So we'll see what happens here. If we do have a 168 and change, 167 final yield on corn, you know, we're still going to be at about 2 billion carryout. Now, it's nothing. You know, when we went down below 3 2 years ago, I want to say, or maybe it was about 18 months ago, there was concerns of carryouts being over 2 point, be somewhere between like 2.5 and 3 billion. I mean, that was the ugliest I remember, you know, in the past couple of years of, you know, projections being like that. And that's when we made that run at $3 in corn. So I don't think we're going to do that, but we could, you know, we still could come down 10 or 15 cents if we don't get a reason to rally here. And with the crop progress reports when they come out next week on Monday, they'll probably be steady. So these crops are made, and now it's just going to be, and demand isn't going to change too much. So, you know, for corn, you know, maybe I was thinking earlier that, you know, when we were hedging or using short straddles, we'd started selling 380 straddles, and then we were selling 370 straddles. I can see looking into the 360s. I don't know. It's hard to see corn, December corn now, trade below 345. There's going to be, you know, and it's hard to see us trade much above 390. I mean, I know it's not a It's a 45-cent range, and I'm talking about this range between now and the end of the year. I just have a hard time seeing, just based on demand and supply, where the, you know, even where the USDA says it is, and at, you know, 345 to 390 seems to be the range. So you can play that as a spec. You can play that as a farmer too. If you're a farmer, what I think kind of stinks is that, you know, some, you're gonna have to make a decision here to keep it at the elevator, old crop elevator, or sell it. There's a lot of unsold corn out there. That's gonna keep pressure on the market, which is not really the case for soybeans. There, you know, soybeans, there is soybeans out there, but it's not as much as how much old crop corn is. So I've been talking to a lot of farmers, and there has been a big movement, I think, much more than in recent years, to sell the cash corn and then buy it back on the board. And I'm here, it, I mean, guys, some guys do it, you know, every year pretty much, but this year it really seems to be, you know, tracked. You know, some guys have 100,000, farmers who have 100,000 to 500,000, you know, bushels at the elevator have been saying, you know what, just sell it and buy it back on the board. I mean, if you sold 300 to 400,000 bushels in the cash market, you're basically having a revenue of over $1 million. You want to buy back all that corn on the board in a futures contract, probably only cost you $100,000. So all of a sudden, you free up almost $1 million, $900,000 for that farmer for whatever kind of cash flow they need, and then they just buy it back on the board, and they don't need to deal with storage, don't need an elevator, they just manage the position. And, you know, at this point at 350, 360 December corn, you know, there's probably more upside than downside in the long term, right? So that's really been the feeling I've been getting, and that's why, if that's what's going to happen, I wouldn't be surprised to see some pressure in the corn market between now and the end of the month, as guys need to make these decisions before the last, you know, basically before August, before August goes away and September goes into first notice day. So that's going to be, that's probably going to be the theme. On the soybean side, I'm seeing yields all over the place. It still takes the funds have been selling beans too, so that hasn't been helping. There has been a big bean oil story out. Department of Commerce basically been saying some of the bean oil from Argentina has been subsidized and some other places, and they're going to put restrictions on it. So if that's the case, then that's going to send soybean oil up. It has backed off since it gapped up after that news came out. If you did want to play a bullish story in bean oil, probably the safest way to do it would be the bull spreads in the futures. If you're looking for more specifics, you can always give me a call or shoot me an email on how exactly to do that. But other than the bean oil story, it's hard to get bullish on really anything in the soybeans or corn market. Wheat has seen a lot of selling lately. There's been a monster crop coming out of Russia, which is obviously bearish on prices. The only silver lining in that is Russia can only export so much wheat. They just don't have the pipeline and logistics to get to keep on, you know, sending supply out each year, and they're basically maxed out. So any more wheat they produce, or, you know, they've basically produced more than expected, there's only so much to get out of the country. So it will have an effect on world prices. And when Russian wheat bottoms out here and finds some stability, then we expect U.S. wheat, you know, particularly Chicago and Kansas City, to also stabilize. But that may take a little bit of time. And also keep in mind, the funds were long a lot of Kansas City wheat. Some of the managed futures funds, too, had a big position in Kansas City wheat. And if they're looking to liquidate that, that will basically liquidate down that contract. And you can really see that in the Kansas City versus Chicago wheat spread. Kansas City in December is now 4.5 under Chicago. In December and in September, it's down about 5 cents under Chicago, which is towards very much the end of the range for the past year in those spreads. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, once the Russian prices stabilize and once the funds get out of whatever they feel they need to get out of in the Kansas City wheat, that spread pops up again. And so I do think there's some value there in Kansas City against Chicago right now. We do like, we did get into some pretty low risk bean spreads last week, just to switch over to beans real quick, and we were looking at buying Jan and selling May, and we did that before the WASDE report. Obviously, that WASDE report was a bit of a disaster for the grain markets, and we're down 3.5 cents in that spread. To be down 3.5 cents in a soybean play after beans are really gotten hammered here over the past week or two doesn't bother me so much. That spread has been really close into a deep carry, so the downside is limited. If we do get planting issues, if the crop's a little bit smaller, we see more demand come in, we get South American issues, I still like that spread. We do have a stop in, to risk only 5 cents. Which is good. It's good risk management. If we do get stopped, though, we will be looking to get back into that spread again, just because the upside during any kind of big demand increase or South American issues would outweigh the risks on that. So here we are, end of August, seasonally. We start to carve out a bottom in the grain market. We'll see if that's the same this year as last year. And then how far we go down over the next couple of weeks, over the next week or two, we'll have to keep an eye on. And again, really what was going on up until right now was farmers kind of holding out on hope on this pro farmer tour, but they're not going to get any help, it looks like. So right now we got a slightly bearish view on corn with limited downside just because we're down so much, and farmers and the selling pressure will end by the most likely end of August on the cash side. Soybeans should be mixed. Again, though, it's going to be a big crop. The big concern is if we are at 49 yield or 50 yield, beans could break below $9. If we're below 49, in that 48, around 48, 40 and a half, maybe beans are more range bound between 9 and 10. If for some reason the market's really surprised and we get yields below trend line, then we can start talking about $10 beans. But right now we just don't see that happening. So that's really our grain side on the, so kind of like a hurry up and wait. I'm still bullish on hard red spring wheat. I think what the USDA needs to do, and this may be come out in the September report, is there is abandonment that they have not talked about, the acres that were abandoned. And that's going to make some, the hard red spring wheat balance sheet tighter too. Some of the reports come out of the fields from Pro Farmer is the spring wheat isn't as bad as they thought. And that may be the case because the stuff that was probably really, really bad, they may have just bailed up, and those have been abandoned acres for that. So that could be part of it. I still like it. Minneapolis wheat is a hard market to trade, so the way I like it, I still like doing that March versus May spread. To me, it's probably the way to play it if you don't want to deal with the volatility in hard red spring wheat, which really can be a lot, and trading options in that market can be difficult. So I like that. In terms of livestock, I talked to a lot of people in the industry, and the consensus is, we've come down a lot in cattle prices since May, but the consensus is there is still a lot of cattle that needs to come out to the market. My big concern are feeders here. If you look at a chart of November feeders, if we break through this 140 and break through it decisively, you can make the case to go all the way down to 132. That's 9 points lower than we are now. And these things tend to happen where it hugs support line, and then something happens in the cash market, and we go down fast, right? And everyone bails out. So I don't know if you want to play that using a sell stop on a close below the 140 level, or you're doing some put spreads, or you kind of just keep an eye on it. But feeders look like they could be making a move to the downside soon, which is a little bit counter-seasonal because this time of year you usually see an increase in demand, which we are seeing some stronger prices, cash prices over the next past 24 to 48 hours. So we may have some short-term bullishness, but on the longer term, there seems to be a lot of product coming out. And I think you see October cattle having a tough time. I think you see December cattle having a tough time. I think you see the front end of some of these feeder contracts also having a tough time. They haven't broke yet, but when it does break, it can happen fast. And, we've been talking, good example there is hogs. We have been talking about getting into the hog market on towards the short side, whether it be bear spreading, whatever it may be. And as soon as pork bellies broke, and pork bellies broke fast and big, and within a week, the lean hog market went down about 7 points. We were at October's about 70 or 71, and we went down to about 63 or 63 and a half in a week's time. So, I mean, I can see moves like that happening in cattle, in feeder cattle, what recently happened in the hog market. So now we're going to probably find some support here in October. But, hey, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to talk to another broker. So we'll probably see some support here in the October and December contract. And again, if you take a look at those chart patterns, it happens fast. So if that's going on in October and December, lean hogs, I would also take a look at it. Kind of the similar price action if and when those feeder cattle break, we break the same way. Alrighty, so finally, we're just going to go quickly into the energies. There is some interest in natural gas. Been getting a lot of calls about when to buy or get into natural gas. I don't know, it's going to be tough. It's, like right now, we're going to have a mild fall in September and October weather-wise. You would, you know, September natural gas going to find some support in the 280 range. If we go out farther to October, or if we look out past towards December, we're going to see some support coming around $3 for December natural gas. For those of you looking to somehow get exposure to that market, that'd be good. And you know, we want to take a look into that. And finally, into crude oil. Been saying for a while, we just think it's going to be range bound between low 40s and, you know, when we get into to 50, the 200-day moving average comes in about 51.5. We like the bear spreads in crude, where we've been selling decent, buying something farther out. It just seems like when we get above $50, if you look at the stock market, a lot of those shale companies start reporting profits when we get above 50, and they start to suffer heavy losses on their, when you look at their earnings return when we get into the low 40s. So, and that's what we've been seeing. We get into the low 40s, the shale turns to turn off. You see less rigs. You get into 50s or higher, you see the shale production really ramp up and the rigs go higher. That's not just something you see in the commodity markets, but you also see that when you listen to these companies do their reporting and their earnings every quarter. So that's the way we'll continue to play it. And also, if you follow the newsletter, if we do make another, if we make a run in December crude towards that 200-day moving average, which is going to be around 51.50, maybe we'll look into selling some call spreads. If we make a run down into the mid to low 40s, maybe start looking to sell some put spreads and just play the range in crude until we get some real big economic growth to put, you know, to push crude higher. It's hard to see the demand push it well into the 50s, and just the way the shale industry operates and how profitable it can be or not profitable it can be, it's hard to see crude dip below 40 for any real length of time until production has to be, really needs to be shut off by some of these places. So that's the way we'll be. If you have any questions, you can certainly reach out to me. All my contact information is in the show notes, you can also check out turnerstake.com for my newsletter. Have a great week, and I'll talk to everyone later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.com. www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.